Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Imagine that you are a lonely visitor in a foreign country and meet a fellow citizen of your own country, be it American, Great Britain, or Canada. You immediately sense a kind of kinship. But how does that compare with the intimacy and sheer delight that would result from unexpectedly meeting one of your own family members in the same setting? Well, this is the situation that should exist with all members of the body of Christ, the church, and not just with those who are in our circle of fellowship. For the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that not only are we fellow citizens with all the believers in the kingdom of God, but we are also his household family members. This describes what should be a sweet and intimate relationship with all those who belong to Christ. We'll consider both of these aspects today, and Francis Ball has joined us for that. Welcome back, Francis.
Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to this kind of intimacy and relatedness that we have with one another.
Francis, the last 2 days we've had marvelous programs dealing with the new man that Paul introduces and presents in chapter 2, verse 15, and which we heard him describe as the most crucial item in the New Testament, and I wrote it down because it was such a strong statement, again, talking about this matter of the new man. One of the most striking things about the new man, as we see it in Ephesians, and by that I mean surprising to most believers, is what the new man is composed of. I think we automatically assume it has something to do with behavior, but in the verse in chapter 2, and let me read it, abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments in ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. So, Francis, as a review today, what is this two that God uses to create the new man?
Of course, Chris, this is referring to both the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews, of course, are those that are God's people by his choice. He chose the Jewish race. And the Gentiles, of course, are all the others. That's just two people. From God's point of view, you only have these two. So when it mentions that he makes of two one, that means the Jews and the Gentiles under God's blessing and calling and the work that he did on the cross makes them one. So this is referring to the Jews, who are known as the circumcision, and the Gentiles, who are called in this portion the uncircumcision.
So this new man that Paul is talking about in chapter 2, and that, as I mentioned a moment ago, Witness Lee calls very definitely the most crucial item in the New Testament, is something that is corporate and not just a new behavior or a new way of life for me individually.
You're right. This is not a matter of behavior. It's not a matter of something religious. It's really a matter of life, and it's really a matter of a corporate group of people being brought together to be one entity. So when he makes of two peoples one new man, that means that he has really solved all the problems between the two peoples. I think with this, we would realize there are lots of differences between the Jews and the Gentiles.
Right.
And this, in God's view, this is all the people on the earth. They're either the Jews, his chosen ones, or they're the Gentiles, not his chosen ones. But in this way, he brings both together corporately to make of them one new man.
Francis, as we continue in chapter 2 today, this matter of the corporate aspect of what God is seeking and desiring among his people remains prominent. Let's look at the next couple of verses. Verse 16 says, "And he might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it. And coming, he announced peace as the gospel to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near." So again, we're talking about these two very different groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles at that time, and how in Christ, in the body, and ultimately, as the one new man, these two are reconciled to God, reconciled to one another, and all of the separating elements are really done away with in Christ, aren't they?
This is a marvelous thing about the Epistle to the Ephesians. We see things here that we never realized how that would be possible, that these two peoples could be brought together in one. But here, it makes it clear that on the cross, Christ joins these two peoples together by dealing with all their differences and makes them one new man.
And Francis, I should mention before we join Witness Lee in this first segment today, maybe the first 20 or 30 seconds, the listeners are going to hear some translation that was going on, and there was a crossover on this tape. And so you'll hear some Spanish translation in the background, but it only lasts for a short time. So don't be alarmed and don't adjust your radio.
In chapter 2, verses 16, 17, and 18. The most striking point is this. Here it says, he might reconcile both in one body. We think we need a kind of a individual reconciliation. Actually, the proper and the real and genuine reconciliation is in one body. We've been far off from God. Right? But we have been reconciled to God. Where? In the one body. The body is the instrument. The body is the channel, the means by which we've been reconciled to God. If you would read Colossians 3:15, in one body, we have been called, in one body, we have been reconciled to God. And this could be clearly portrayed in the Exodus. You see, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were, in a sense, far off from God. Right? When they were brought to Mount Sinai, there, they were reconciled to God as a body, corporately. And that was a type. And today, we must have this kind of a corporate sensation. Don't consider that you have been saved individually and I have been reconciled to God individually. No, we all have been called together. We all have been reconciled together in one body. Through the cross, don't forget the portion of the word here in Ephesians, the cross has done two things. Number one, to kill all the ordinances for the creation of the new man. Number two, to redeem us back to God that we may be reconciled to God. And this is a good news.
Francis, reconciliation is one of those spiritual terms, one of those theological terms, and I think we get some appreciation and understanding of it when we realize that we had a big problem with God and the problem was taken care of in Christ's death and resurrection. But here, Paul adds another element to this matter of reconciliation that really elevates it even higher, doesn't he?
It certainly does. It's much higher because reconciliation here is not just that we are reconciled to God individually, as Brother Lee pointed out, but we are reconciled together in one body. That means the Jews, who were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles, who were far off from God, are really different in their ordinances, all their behavior, all their ways of doing things. But now God, through Christ on the cross, God has reconciled both in one body unto God.
Mm.
This is really a solution of a big, unsolvable problem, and he did it on the cross. He solved the problem between the two by making the two one.
And, you know, their situations and backgrounds were so totally different. And in a sense, one God's chosen people and the other, in one sense, God's rejected people, but the reality in Christ is that both needed this reconciliation, and they both received, or we all received, the same reconciliation in Christ. So that really levels everything, doesn't it, in terms of our participation in the New Testament blessing?
That's the marvel of it, that everything is solved by what God has done in Christ on the cross. All the differences are taken care of so that there could be a reconciliation of the two, of both. He has made one body. This is really marvelous.
You know, when you've been at odds with someone, and maybe someone that you either were close to or would like to be close to, and yet this problem has arisen, when that reconciliation comes, it's a marvelous thing, and it's a sensation that I think most people can identify with, and to realize that that is the situation that now exists in this one body between us and God. This is a relief, and this is, as he said at the end, marvelously good news, isn't it?
It really is marvelous good news. We're reconciled to God in one body. This is much more than just being reconciled to God individually. That also is brought out in Paul's writings in Romans, having been reconciled. He mentions that in chapter 5. But here in Ephesians, you get the corporate picture, because Ephesians is dealing entirely with the corporate body, with the church as the body of Christ and one new man.
Well, Francis, now that this reconciliation is an established fact, we can go on to the very next verse and take advantage of the reconciliation that exists. For through him we both now have access in one spirit unto the Father. So the reconciliation entitles us now to the real blessing, and that is access.
Yeah, right.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We all have been reconciled to God in that one body. This was an accomplished fact. But following this, we need the access to the Father for our enjoyment. We need to contact the Father for enjoyment. And this is not just in the body. This must be also in one spirit. To have the fact of reconciliation, that was in the body. But to have the experience of contacting the Father, this experience is in the spirit. One aspect is that we are in the body. This is the fact. Then the other aspect is that we should be in the spirit. And the fact is just a positional matter. But the experience, it is not just a positional matter, it's a personal matter. We must be right now. Well, we are meeting here in the spirit.
Amen.
In the spirit, we are right now enjoying God personally. God could be yours as a fact. But if you are going to enjoy him, he must be your Father. He must be your Father. If God is only God to you, that is only a fact. He has to be a Father to you. When God becomes a Father to you, it's no longer just a fact, but an experience. You are just enjoying him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We were far off. We were far off. Yet, we have been brought back and reconciled to God positionally. But if we are not in the spirit, we don't have the enjoyment of this fact. We need to be in the spirit to enjoy what we possess positionally. The positional possession becomes our personal experience, personal enjoyment. We enjoy God the Father in the spirit. By experience. Now we are not only in the body, but also in the spirit.
Francis, that we have been reconciled to God in one body is an established, unalterable fact for eternity, and it's one of those facts that the Bible is full of. But many times we settle for just the fact. But what is so marvelous about what we just heard is that these facts become really the basis for our personal experience, don't they?
This is one of the marvels of this ministry that we've enjoyed so much throughout these years, because we're not only brought to see the facts concerning our redemption, concerning the blood of Christ, and concerning being reconciled to God, but there's a further step that we need to realize and experience, and that is that we are brought in fellowship with the Father. We are brought into the enjoyment with the Father. God may have many things against us because of how far off we were, but once the blood of Christ is applied to our condition, we are reconciled to God, and that is in one body, so that we're not even separate from our brothers and sisters, whether they were Jewish or whether they were Gentile. We're all reconciled to God, made right with God. That's a positional fact. But this particular portion brings us to the experience, and that experience is something in the Spirit. So it's not just enough to be in the body. You also must be in the Spirit, because in the Spirit we have the wonderful, sweet fellowship. What the Lord has done and what He's made real to us
right. Is
real in our spirit. So when we're in spirit, we are not only in the body, we are also in real fellowship and enjoyment with the Father.
And another element that I might add here, also an appreciation of this ministry. Oftentimes when you touch the experiential side of things, a lot of Christians are somewhat leery because they think that, oh no, if you get into that realm, the tether is cut between experience and the Bible, the Word of God, and so what you're experiencing is not reliable and trustworthy. But as we've seen again and again, the genuine spiritual experience is always in concert, is in parallel, is completely one with the revealed truth of Scripture, of the Bible, isn't it?
That's right. And this is very, very important for our Christian life and for our oneness with all the members of the body. If we don't have this realization of this experience, our relationship with one another is completely a doctrinal matter, and that doesn't give you much real enjoyment.
Right. And that is really a good lead into our final segment today, where we're going to touch this intimate, sweet fellowship that is now implied in the next verses in chapter 2, and we opened the program with this thought. Verse 19 continues, "So you then are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, number one, and members of the household of God, number two." A marvelous connection here that we'll see in this last portion. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God. The word citizens indicates a nation, a kingdom. The word household indicates a home, a family. And the kingdom of God is a sphere for Him to exercise His authority. All believers, Jewish and Gentile, are citizens in the kingdom of God. This is a matter of right and responsibility. You enjoy the right, and you must bear the responsibility. Even today, here in this country, we all bear the responsibility, because we all enjoy the right. And what responsibility we bear? We pay the tax. We pay the federal tax, we pay the state tax, even we pay the city tax. Right? As long as you enjoy the right, you have to bear the responsibility. In the kingdom of God, the principle is the same. Right and responsibility, they too go together. Then, the members of the household of God. You do have 1 Timothy 3:15 that says, in the house of God, you know how to behave yourself. The house of God is a realm for us to enjoy God the Father's riches. In the Father's house, we enjoy the Father's riches. All believers are members of the house of God, born of God into His house. Hallelujah. And this is a matter of life and enjoyment. Paul didn't stop with the thought of the kingdom, but he went on to say, and members of the household of God. This is more intimate. You are the members of the household. That means you Gentiles and you Jews are not only fellow citizens in the same kingdom. You have to realize you are members of the same family. Here, right in this congregation, we have Brazilians, Indonesians, Koreans, Germans, and we have Japanese, and we have so many different peoples. Do we really consider them as members of our family? We, the believers, regardless what background we came from, we are the members of the household, the unique household of God. We are the members of the unique family in this whole universe.
Francis, I think this is the gospel in Ephesians right here. There is something so appealing, so satisfying about the kind of Christian life, church life we're seeing described here, that I think it echoes in the spirit of every believer, don't you?
Yeah, I surely do. This is so marvelous that on the cross we were dealt with in all of our different practices. The Jewish practices, the ordinances were all dealt with. Everything was eliminated, all the differences put aside. We're now not only citizens together of God's kingdom, but we're members of God's family. Regardless of our background, regardless of our race, regardless of our bringing up, we have been made one family, one body, one new man. I don't know what you could say more to when you realize all those different ones he mentioned that were there in that congregation that day.
Right.
I can remember all those being there. And since then, I've been to Indonesia, I've been to Malaysia, I've been to Taiwan, I've been to Russia. All these places, I just meet members of my family.
Absolutely.
We're all born of God. And this oneness, this experience of this oneness is so peaceful, so enjoyable, so rich and so real, that it eliminates all the differences among us so that we realize we really are members one of another. We're of the household of God and we're citizens of the kingdom.
And you know, Francis, maybe the best thing about being a family member is with your family members, you don't all the time have to explain and you don't always have to give an account for where you've been or why you've been up or have you been down. It's just you enter into something that is intimate, caring, loving, and genuine right off the bat. And if this were the condition between all the believers in Christ on this earth, don't you believe the Lord would be back?
Now, this is what he's waiting for. He wants this reality to be our experience. This is not just a doctrinal fact. Actually, the doctrinal fact is the fact. We are one. We have been brought together in this kind of oneness. But the experience of it is necessary in order for the Lord to come back and set up the manifestation of the kingdom of God on the earth.
And that is why I think we say repeatedly all the way through this life study of Ephesians, this really is the high peak in the New Testament, the revelation and what is unveiled in this book for the Christian's experience is unparalleled in Ephesians, isn't it?
That's right. This is a marvelous, marvelous book. I think it was Brother Lee's favorite book because he spent so much time in this and so much light came to include all the people of God, all the children of God in this oneness.
Well, we hope the light is coming for all of you listening day by day as you are enjoying these messages and touching these verses and getting into this in a way that we hope is new and fresh to you. It's having that impact on us, even though we have been through this book before. I tell you, it's very fresh speaking going on these days as we are handling these messages, Francis.
Surely is true.
We are out of time. We, of course, would like to invite you to contact us about the printed messages that go along with these programs. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. And we'll return Monday and next week, another week of life studies from this book of Ephesians. We hope you'll join us for those. And today for Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Receive us into
Revelation is a book of signs and prophecy, revealing the ultimate destiny of many things, including the world, unbelievers, and Satan. But more importantly, it reveals the destiny and consummation of the people of God. In the Orthodoxy of the Church, Watchman Nee progressively unfolds the history of the Church from the time of the Lord's ascension to the time of His coming back. He sounds forth a call to all believers to be overcomers in this present age, in simple and clear language, echoing the Spirit speaking to the churches. The Orthodoxy of the Church by Watchman Nee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.